We're holding in Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Revi, the fourth chapter. That's on Daf Tesvav in most of the standard Rambams. Halacha Aleph. Hamisha Devar Ma'akvim Es HaTefillah, Api Shegiya Zmana. There are five things that are critical for praying Shemoneh Esrei, even if the time has arrived. You must fulfill these five things in order to pray. Otherwise you can't. Taras Yadayim, the purity of the hands, the cleanness of the hands. The kisu erva and the covering of the nakedness, the taras mokum tefillah, the cleanliness of the place of prayer, udvar machotzim also, things that are distracting him, the kavanas halev and the intention of the heart. The Rambam of this chapter will explain each of these five things. Halacha beis, taras yadayim ketzad, the purification of the hands, how so? Rochatz yad v'mayim at a perek, he is supposed to wash his hands till the joint. Vakach is follow and then pray. That means either the knuckles or the wrist. Hayim alach b'derech, if he was traveling on the way, the gizman tefillah on the time of prayer arrived, for hayim mayim, he didn't have any water. Mayim b'no v'na mayim abar milim, shem shmonas alofim ama, if between him and the water there was 4 mil, which means 8,000 cubits, halach ad makam amayim, he should go ahead until the place of the water, v'rochitz and wash his hands, vachakach is follow. And afterwards he should pray the Shemoneh Esrei. Hayah b'no v'amayim yoser alkein, if there's more than a 4 mil journey between him and the water, v'kaneach yadav b'tzror or b'ofer or b'kor or mispalel, he can just wipe his hands clean in a pebble or in earth or in a beam and pray. Lacha gimel. B'medvar mamurim, when do we say this? Lefanov. If it means, if it necessitates journeying ahead, if he, the place of the water is behind him and he would have to go back, he's obligated to go back only 1 mil. If he would have to go back further from the water, in other words, he's passed more than a mil from the water, he's not obligated to go back, and he just has to wipe his hands and pray. The Medrash Mamurim, when does this apply? Shinamatar Latfila Ela Yodav Vuvad, that all he has to purify for prayer is his hands, Bashat Filas, by the other prayers. Chutz Mitfila Shachras, except for the morning prayer. Abba Shachras, but the morning prayer, Rochas Ponav Yodav Araglov, he should wash his hands, his face, his hands, and his feet. Varkach Yispalo, and then he should pray. Mahi Rochach Menamayim, if he was far from the water, and Kanech Yodav Vuvad, he only wipes his hands, Varkach Yispalo, and then pray. The Ravid says, Vayidati Ragov Lama. I don't know where the Rambam gets that he has to wash his hands, his feet. The Kesav Mishnah brings down, in the name of the Migdal Oz, that the source is, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that says a person is supposed to wash his face, his hands, and his feet every day, because it says everything that Hashem made, he made for his sake. The Kesav Mishnah explains that the Ravid holds that that's not talking about an obligation. That's saying that one may wash himself daily, and it's not considered that he is pampering himself too much. And the Rambam holds that it is an obligation, and you should wash not only your hands, but your face and feet as well. Halacha Dalit. Kolatz meim rochtz and yedeim bilvad kitahorim. All people who are ritually unfit, all they have to do is wash their hands, just like the ritually clean people. Mispalim and they can pray. Even though they could go to the mikveh, will allow us to Muslim and come out of their tumah, and the tefillah ma'akevah, submersion of the mikveh, is not mandatory. For Abiyanu, we've already explained she'ezra tikein, that Ezra made a special institution, shalayika balkeri bavad, that only a balkeri, someone who has had an emission of semen, should not read b'divrei Torah. You should not study Torah, achiyitvul, until he immerses himself. Ubeis din sham do achiken, in a later court, Hiskinu instituted, after tefillah also concerning prayer, shli spal balkeri bilvad, that only a balkeri should not pray, achiyitvul, until he immerses himself. V'lamet ne'tumah v'taharu nogabah. This is not because of the rules of ritual purity or impurity, because other ritually impure people can pray and study Torah. And the kedesh lo yiyu tamid ha'chachamim mitzuyim eitzan l'shoseim kitana golem, so that the sages should not be found with their wives like chickens, like roosters. They shouldn't be overly involved in having marital relations. They should, since they know that if they do so, they will have to immerse in the mikveh till they can study and pray. For this reason, they instituted the immersion only for the Balkeri, the one who has had a seminal emission, and they made him different than any other kind of ritual impurity.
Before, in the time that this law was in force, they said, Shafiru Zav Shiro Akeri, even a person suffering from a condition known as Zav, who had a seminal emission and became a Keri. Now, when he goes to the mikveh, he won't be purified anyway, since he is a Zav. Or, Venida Shapalta Shechva Zera, a woman who had a menstrual period, and afterwards she emitted some of the semen from the intercourse that she had with her husband previously. So she's sort of like a Keri, since she had an emission of semen. Even though if she goes to the mikveh, she won't be purified because she's a nida. She's a menstruant anyway, and she has to wait for 7 clean days and so on. Or, Mshamethis Shirasa Dam Nida, a woman who had intercourse, who is also considered like a Balkeri, who subsequently saw menstrual blood and is Tameh anyway. Still, Tzrichim Tfilah L'Kriya Shema V'Chein L'Tfilah. They would still have to immerse themselves in order to read the Shema or to pray. But they are Keri just because of the Keri part. Even though they are in any case ritually unfit. And so it is by right. For this immersion is not because of purity. It's because of a rabbinic decree that they shouldn't be constantly by their wives, as we mentioned before. The Rambam says that this institution concerning prayer has been nullified. Because it didn't spread out among all of the Jews. And the congregation didn't have the strength to fulfill this. So it was never totally accepted, and it was too hard for it to be accepted, and therefore the law is not in force anymore, and one can pray even if one is a Balkeri. It's a custom in Babylonia and in Spain that a Balkeri does not pray until he washes his whole body with water. In other words, even though they no longer require a mikveh, but they do require that he washes his whole body in water. As the Kesef Mishnah points out, this is known as kerionso, but a chole, a sick person who had a seminal emission. By mistake, he didn't choose to do so. Pater min rechitza. He is not obligated to bathe, to wash himself. And there is no custom requiring that he wash himself before prayer. Similarly, if one is Tameh anyway, one is a Zav who saw a Keri, or a Nida, a woman who is a menstruant who emitted the semen from a previous relationship, there is no custom that they immerse themselves. They wipe themselves, they wash their hands, and they can pray. What is the law concerning the covering of one's nakedness? Even if one covered the genitals in the way that one does for reading the Shema, lo yispalel, he should not pray until he covers his heart as well. If he didn't cover his heart, or it's an accident, he has nothing else with which to cover himself, since he covered the genitals and prayed, Yasser fulfills his obligation. But in the first place, you shouldn't do that. You should cover your heart as well. Taras makom hatfila ketzad. What is the law concerning the purification of the place, the purity and the cleanness of the place of prayer? You shouldn't pray in a place of filth. It's not in a bathhouse. It's not in a bathroom. Not in a garbage dump. Not in a place that does not have a presumption of cleanness. Achiv v'kenu until he checks it. Kol shadavah, the rule is, kamakom shen kom bav kriya shema, any place that you do not read the shema, and mispalel and bow, you do not pray there either. Shem shemachiki mitzom and mirag lai v'rech ram and ameis and maria sa'ev la kriya shema, just as you have to distance yourself from excrement or urine or a foul smell or from a dead body or from the seeing of nakedness, when you read the shema, kach marchikim utfila, in the same way you have to make a distance for prayer. Halachates, mispalel amatzitzal b'mkomo, if you prayed and in the middle of prayer you find the tzara, the filth, the excrement in your place. Hol v'chota, because you sinned, the nation abode it by not checking, ashlo spalo before praying. Chos v'spalo b'chom tzara, has to repeat his prayer and pray in a clean place. Hayom v'tfilo matzol b'kenegdo, if he was in the middle of prayer and he found excrement ahead of him, im yochla halach v'fonav, if he can just walk ahead. So that it be behind him 4 cubits, he should go. If he cannot go ahead, he should go to a side so that the filth be on his side and 4 cubits away. If he can't do that either, he must interrupt and go away. The great sages, some of the great sages didn't pray in a house that had either beer or murius, a kind of brine, during the time that it smelled bad, because of the foul odor. Avishamakam tar, even though the place is clean, they prefer not to daven in such a place. Yudvar machovs him also keta, things that distract him. What is the law of that? Hayatzar from the kavav lo yispalel, if he had to go to the bathroom, he had an urge to go, he shouldn't pray. Chalantzar from the kavav yispalel tlasa tueva, whoever has an urge to go to the bathroom and he prays, his prayer is an abomination. He has to repeat his prayers after he goes to the bathroom. However, if he can hold himself in for the distance that it takes to walk 4 mil, then his prayer is valid. Nevertheless, in the first place, he shouldn't pray until he checks himself very well. He should make sure that he doesn't have to go to the bathroom. He should remove his different kinds of phlegm or spit. Anything that confuses him, and then afterwards he should pray. If a person, gihek means either to stretch out or to yawn, pihek means either to yawn or to burp, nesatish means to sneeze. If one does any of these things in his prayers, if he does it purposely, that's despicable. If he checked himself before praying, these things happen by accident, he couldn't control them, and b'kachloma doesn't matter, it does not invalidate the prayer. If spit came into his mouth during his prayer, like phlegm he has to get rid of, he should throw it into, absorb it into his cloak or his garment. If he didn't feel comfortable putting it in his garment, he should spit it into his hand and throw it with his hand behind him. So he shouldn't suffer in his prayer and not be able to concentrate properly. If he passed gas from the bottom, in the middle of prayer, accidentally, he waits until the wind passes, and then he goes back to his prayer. If he wanted to pass gas from below, then it's Tsar Harbei, and he felt very bad, but he can't control himself. He should walk back 4 steps, 4 cubits. And he should wait until the gas goes away. Then he says the following little prayer. Ribon Kol Olam, Master of the Universe. It's a Tonu Nukov Nukov Chalunum Chalunum. You made us with different holes and different hollow places. It is known before you our shame, our humiliation. We are shamed and humiliated when we live. We are worms and maggots when we die. So he acknowledges our human frailty. Then he goes back 4 steps to his original place in the spala, and he continues the prayer. If he was in the middle of prayer and he urinated, the urine dropped onto his knees, he waits till the water stops, and then he goes back to the place that he interrupted in the prayers. If he interrupted the amount of time that it takes to say the whole prayer, to complete the whole prayer, then he must return to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei. If someone has urinated, he shouldn't immediately afterwards pray. He should wait the amount of time that it takes to walk 4 cubits and then pray. If after he prayed, you should wait a few seconds that it takes to walk 4 cubits before urinating, so that the words of prayer should stop from his mouth. You need a few seconds to make sure that the words are stopped. Tezvav. Another requirement is the intent of the heart. How so? called Tefillah Sheino B'Kavana Eina Tefillah. Any prayer without the intention is not considered a prayer. The Nisbalo B'Lo Kavana, if you pray without intention, Chozim Nisbalo B'Kavana, he must pray again, having the proper intent. Marta Daitim Shebeshes V'Li B'Torah, if he finds his mind mixed up, his heart is mixed up, he's not allowed to pray until he calms down and he can concentrate. Therefore, if someone comes from a journey and he's exhausted and doesn't feel well, he shouldn't pray until he calms down and he can concentrate. The sages said, you should wait for 3 days till he rests and his mind is calm, and afterwards you should pray. Tezayim. Ketzariya kavana, what do we mean by the intent? Yivnas libu mekola makshavos, he should remove from his heart all other thoughts. V'yira'atzmo kilohu amad apnei ashkina, he should visualize himself standing before the divine presence. Afikach, therefore, tzoch leishev miyad kodem atfila, you should pause, sit a while before prayer, v'yilachavnas libo, to concentrate with his heart. V'akach ispahu, then he should pray v'nachas slowly, v'tachnunim, with supplication. Don't make your prayer like someone carrying a burden that he throws and goes on his way. Therefore, you're also supposed to pause and sit a little bit after the prayer to show that it's not a burden that you're just getting rid of as soon as possible. Then he leaves. The early Hasidim used to wait 1 hour before prayer, and another hour after prayer. The prayer of the Shemoneh Esrei itself would also take an hour. Loch Yitzayim. Shikar al Yispalo, a person who is drunk should not pray. Mishein lo kavana, because he doesn't have the proper intention. And Yispalo, if he prayed tefilosa to Eva, his prayer is an abomination. Therefore he should repeat the prayer when he sobers up from his drunkenness. Shosoi, if someone drank but is not drunk, al Yispalo, he shouldn't pray. In the spalt philosophy tefillah, but if he did pray, his prayer is valid. Eiz a shikr, how do we define someone who's drunk? Zeshaliyachla davel of ne'amelach, someone who couldn't speak before a king. Shosri, one who drank but isn't drunk. That means yachla davel of ne'amelach made a mishtabish. He could speak to a king and he wouldn't make a mistake. Afa became nevertheless, however, shosri revius yain, since he drank a quarter of a log of wine, a certain measure of wine, lo yispalo lach yosu yenome olav. He should not pray until he removes the wine from him. Loki yudches. You shouldn't stand up to pray. Not from the midst of laughing. Not from the midst of levity. Not from just idle conversation. Not from argument. Not from anger. But from words of Torah. Not from a law. Even though the law is Torah too. His mind shouldn't be mixed up and concerned and thinking about the law. He was studying an intricate and interesting piece of law. He'll be thinking about that instead of praying. And let me talk divrei Torah shein ba'iyun, from words of Torah that do not require conversation, or concentration, kegon halachas psukos, like set laws, not the legal process which you think a lot about and which you shouldn't do right before davening, but rather halachas psukos, set laws, like you study a Rambam or the Shulchan Aruch. You have the set laws, and that does not distract you afterwards when you stand and pray. Halacha Yutes, Tfilos HaProkim, the prayers that are said from time to time, not every day. Tfilos Musaf Rosh Chodesh, like the additional prayer of Rosh Chodesh. Tfilos Moados, the prayers of the holidays. So Lahasit Tfilos HaVarkach Omed Mespalo, he has to organize his prayers beforehand, since he's not that fluent with it, and then stand and pray. Kadesh Lo Yichoshel Bo, so he shouldn't stumble, make a mistake over those prayers. The Kesef Mishnah brings a question as to whether we have to organize the prayer nowadays if we have the prayers in written form. The Kesef Mishnah himself suggests that it's a good idea to check and look over those prayers anyway, even though we have them in written form, so that you should pray them really fluently. If a person was walking in a place of danger, like a place of bands of wild beasts and robbers, the Gizman Tefillah, the time of prayer arrived, and he's not able to stand there and pray the whole lengthy Shemoneh Esrei. The Spal Baruch Achas, he prays one blessing. V'zohi, this is the blessing. Tzarech Amcha Yisrael Merubim, the needs of your people of Israel are many. V'daitim Ktzara, their minds are short. Yiratim V'nach Hashem Lekeinu, may it be your will, Hashem our God. Shetitim L'chalecha V'yechid K'dei Panasah, so give each and every one according to his needs of his sustenance. Ugvia de machsara, to each and every body according to its lack, to fulfill its lack. Tov v'nechaseh, do what is good in your eyes. Baruch atah Hashem, we bless you, O God. Shomei atfila, who listens to prayer. Umspalaloso b'derech kishu mahalach. He can pray this on the road while he's walking. If he can stop and stand, it's better, easier to concentrate better when you're standing, you should stand. Once he reaches a settled place and he calms down, he's not in a dangerous place anymore, he returns and prays the Shemoneh Esrei as it should be, the proper regular Shemoneh Esrei, the 19 blessings.